Hi, everybody. How's it going? Welcome to another episode of Sliding Into My DMs, part of the D4 Network. This is the portion of the channel where we basically have a talk show about D&D. We talk about D&D news. We talk about D&D rules. And we basically just kind of, I guess you could say, theorycraft about ways to make sure that everyone at your table is having as much fun as possible. So
the
anyway.
Most fun miracle advantage at your
table.
That's
right. That's right. We optimize fun having. Right. So with me, as always, are some of my DMs. This week, we've got Tori, the dungeon mistress herself. Thanks for being here, Tori. Always a pleasure to have you. And Preston, Fuzzy Squirrel. Victoria, Belicious. Which of your characters' nicknames do you prefer?
We'll stick with Brom.
I never came up with a good nickname for Brom. That was a missed opportunity on
my
part. I think
it was.
Okay, so, and my name's Colby, by the way. So yes, thank you for being here. Appreciate having you. Just an FYI, so we didn't have a Sliding Into My DMs episode last week, of course, and we're actually not going to have one next week either, because I'm going to be on vacation. And this week, we're missing Corey's usually with us. Unfortunately, he is no longer with us.
He has passed once again into the shadow,
into the nether realm. Mr. Rogers is on vacation, so July is a tricky month, we're finding, and it's actually very appropriate for the topic of conversation that we're going to have today later. But that means that for those of you watching, that you have even more time now to catch up on our live play episodes, right? The Tales of Veneria that we just put up episode 9 this week, I believe it was, right? Mm-hmm. Which was an intense one.
It was.
And it's been a lot of fun and going well. So anyway, and there's lots of other stuff on the channel that you may or may not be aware of. So check out the channel page and, you know, see if there's something that catches your eye while you're missing Sliding Into My DMs, I suppose, next week. Anyway, okay, let's jump into the quick ruling for the week, because as always, I want to have like a little quick ruling on a very specific and maybe complicated rule in the game, and then go into kind of a longer conversation topic. And the quick ruling for this week is maybe as complicated as they come, and you might need like a protractor or some sort of geography tool. Or you might not. Maybe not.
Protractor.
So
compass, protractor. I haven't heard those words in a long
time. I don't own either of those.
We might be in trouble. I don't know.
Well, about this. Just get like a
graphing calculator.
That might work. Okay.
I don't have one of those either.
So here's the question. This question actually has been stewing in my mind and in the comments section of the video, the character build D&D optimized video that I did a week and a half ago on the Sorlock cheese grater. In case you haven't seen it, it's actually doing quite well. It looks like it might set a record.
I do have a cheese grater.
Do you? Okay, yeah, grab that. That could be helpful. That won't be helpful at all.
Okay.
Yeah, that video, it is. It's doing well. It's. I'm finding that anytime I put Sorlock in the title of anything, like, it gets more views than all of my monk videos for some reason, and I can't figure it out, but I don't appreciate it. But anyway,
Sorlock barbarian, but there's no sorcerer warlock. Just put it in the title.
Yeah, exactly. From now on, everything is either Sorlock Bladesinger X, and it will do really well. Okay, so here's the question, because in that video, and of course you guys watched it, so I know that you know this already, but just as a refresher. The concept of the character, right, was that you were this sorcerer, warlock that would lay down a field of spike growth so that if you moved across it, you would take damage, right? And then they were eldritch blasting, essentially pushing and pulling their enemy across this field of spike growth for additional damage, right? Now, the question came up, and it came up for me at the time. I didn't talk about it in the video, but some people mentioned it in the comments, where essentially, if you could move a character up into the air a little bit via the crusher feat and being a Dao warlock that does bludgeoning damage, you know, if you have the Crusher feat and you do bludgeoning damage, you can move a creature once per turn into, you know, 5 feet into any unoccupied space. It doesn't have to be horizontal, doesn't specify that, right? So potentially 5 feet up in the air, right? If I could move a creature 5 feet up into the air and then push them, you know, on the same attack with that Eldritch Blast, because I have Repelling Blast, so it pushes them 10 feet, right? So Crusher, knock them up 5 feet, Repelling Blast pushes them 10 feet. Can I essentially push them further up into the air? Potentially 10 or 15 feet up into the air, right, with that one single attack, and then they fall and take damage. And I don't know the answer, and I don't know that there's necessarily a rules as written answer to this either. It's probably something that would just be up to the DM's interpretation. But
right.
To clarify, allow me to jump into Roll20 and share my screen. The art here is amazing, I know. Okay, so we're looking at two characters here from the side, okay? Not okay. Top down, but from the side, okay? And this is my warlock sorcerer, and this is the enemy, okay?
Okay.
So I'm 10 feet away from him. I hit him with Eldritch Blast, and I apply the Dao Genie feat that does bludgeoning damage, and I have the Crusher feat, so it can potentially knock them 5 feet in any direction that I want. It could be horizontal, but in this case, I say I want it to be vertical, so maybe I move him here, okay? And then also, with the same attack, I have Repelling Blast, so I can move them 10 feet away from me in a line.
Mm-hmm.
Where does he go?
Now, from where you're standing right now, and yes. I have a rebuttal to this as well, but I'll let Tori take that. But from where he is at right now, it is in a straight line away from you. So that would be vertically away.
Okay. But so assuming we're on a grid, mm-hmm. like what does that mean? Does that mean like this? Does that mean like sort of this? Yeah,
you're getting the hypotenuse rather than the actual like height. So we're getting out our protractors and
I forgot all that hypotenuse was a word.
Straight away from you, it's 5'10". Uh-huh. It's the same distance from if you diagonally. Yep. So okay. Like that is what I would rule, because it's straight okay. It's away from you. If he's in sure. the air, it's straight away from you.
Okay. So okay. Tori, thoughts?
I should come up with a different idea. Because those are my same thoughts, but right. To be contrary, maybe I should say something else. But truthfully, that's what I think, is because it's going straight away from you.
Yeah, you
say
think that it would
the grid has to go diagonal.
The grid has to be horizontal. There is no vertical combat in D&D.
There's start no
some
vertical
fights.
Grid.
Like, start some fires. Let's burn it down.
Yeah, no. I mean that's a good point. Actually, I don't hear a lot about a vertical grid.
I mean it's there. Full disclosure, don't come at me in the comments. I'm joking.
See, for me, I almost feel like because of sort of the angle here, it would almost be like not necessarily this, but maybe more like this.
If you wanted to shoot him straight up, I'd allow you to you know, do use your Crusher feet. So that's the one that's erupting, like hitting him up in the air.
Yep.
I would allow you to kind of slide in underneath him and then blast him up even further. But then you'd still need to use your movement to roll out of the way.
But if I have two actions, say I have Action Correct. Surge or I have Quicken Spell, you're saying you would let me blast him up into the air with Dao Genie, maybe even to here on with one action. And then on my next action, move before he falls and keep shooting him higher.
Yeah, sure.
He's suspended in air for a long time.
A more cinematic, like if my player is trying to not necessarily like game the system, but they're wanting to make something cool out of it. Yeah, sure. It makes sense to me.
Here's why it's important, and here's how it gets more complicated. I think this is important because, you know, if a creature falls 10 feet or more, they take falling damage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if they take damage when they fall, they are knocked prone. And this was kind of a big thing in my build where it's like you push them into the spikes in the spike growth, which is difficult terrain. And if they're knocked prone upon falling, now they have to use half their movement to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like slogging through the spike. So it was kind of like important or potentially like a great tactic to try and knock your enemy prone and give them some additional falling damage, right? So this is why it kind of it came up. Now, here's where it gets, I think, even more complicated. Is I think it makes sense if we're standing like this 10 feet away from them, right? To say, okay, you knock them up five and then they move like here or here. And now they're 10 feet in the air. But what happened? I mean, Eldritch Blast has a range of 120 feet. So like, is this impacted at all by the angle, right?
Yes.
Like if I cast it from here and my first Eldritch Blast hits him, knocks him up into the air. Well, okay, what's 10 feet away from this? Do you know what I mean?
I'd imagine it'd probably be just 5 feet up because like, I mean, because again, we're snapping to a grid and you know, I'm always going to try and err on the side of the player to try and, you know, help them to have fun.
Sure.
But yeah, I feel like that would go up. Right. What do you think, Tori?
What's the angle here? Get out your protractor.
I've got my cheese grater and I definitely think it depends on how far away you are. With what you were saying, Preston, allowing someone to shoot the bad guy up and then run underneath them and shoot them up further. No, I'm sorry. I have to disagree with that.
Good.
Like, just think of the amount of time it takes you to run into that space versus the amount of time for them to start falling down. Like, again, I don't have a protractor, got the cheese grater, but
if
mathematically, I don't think that makes any sense. So yes, I think that this hurts my brain, and like if it's going to cause that much brain power to figure out, just do what you want.
I mean, yeah. I think definitely there's plenty of room to say, you know, okay, fine, we'll say because of the angle that you're at, it might not move up this way, but it might go to here, you know, and now you're 10 feet away. Now, if I were 100 feet away when I cast it,
it probably would go straight, it just goes
here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So obviously that's something for you and the DM to talk about and, you know, work out between you. But I guess I mostly just kind of wanted to get your guys' opinion on it and see, like, am I up in the night? Like, some people are saying, like, no, like, you can move them up 5 feet and then you can, like, move them up, like, 10 more feet. And I'm like, well, it feels like if it's supposed to be away from you, it depends on where you are in relation to them and like what the angle is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
I don't know. I feel like this, they purposefully leave that up for the DM's discretion to be able to say, hey, you know, like, I feel comfortable with what you're doing here versus, you know, if it's it's an adventure league table where they need to be more stringent and saying, no, you can't really do that. It's going to push them away from you, not necessarily like up.
Away at the angle that they are in relation to you, just back 10 feet. So if they're up five, they just go back 10. I mean, yeah, obviously, you know, different DMs are going to rule this differently. I have no idea how an Adventure League DM would rule this particular issue, but it does say, as far as repelling blast, it says when you hit a creature with Eldritch Blast, you can push the creature up to 10 feet away from you in a straight line.
Yeah, and that specifically is in a straight line away from you. So yeah.
So anyway,
that is a very clear, distinct description, but knocking them away from you is very nebulous. As far as, it's totally up to interpretation, and I think that I would just rule it from whatever distance they are. You get out your protractor and the cheese grater together. You're going to tie them up with like a piece of string. And then if you have a bobby pin or something like that, and your compass, put those together, and that will help you
find the hypotenuse. Right.
In fact, I'm going to mass produce those and sell them.
I like it. That's gonna be on our merch page now. So be on the lookout for the cheese grater tied to the protractor.
Preston is going to draw up what it looks like for me.
Yeah.
We'll show you what it looks like.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for your judgment. And feel free to let us know, you know, in the comments if you agree, disagree, how you might rule it at your table differently, or if you've seen this done at your table, how your DM, you know, decided to to rule this and where they put the creature, right? Yep. Okay, let's move on to the longer, larger conversation, which actually might not be super long. And I know I say that a lot, but I really have a feeling that like this might be kind of a shorter conversation today, which I'm totally okay with. And in fact, I've been kind of experimenting with the idea of like trying to shorten these sliding into my DMs episodes just to see if you know, if we draw a bigger audience with a 30-minute episode as opposed to a 60-minute episode. And I know some people are probably like, no, I've got lots of time and I like you guys. And then I think there's lots and lots of other people who look at the thumbnail and go, that's an hour long. I'm not clicking on that. So we'll see. So here's the thing I want to talk about today. And it is, like I kind of mentioned at the beginning, what to do when you have players who are absent. So we've all been there, right? We get to play D&D like maybe once a week, and it's like the highlight of our week, right? You can't wait. Thursday comes, or Wednesday, or Saturday, or whatever the day is, and you've just been looking forward to it all week, and you're so excited, and you're looking at your character sheet in D&D Beyond, and you're making sure that you leveled up properly last time, and you chose all your spells, and you're just really excited. And then like 2 hours before game, somebody sends a text and they're like, oh, I got to take my dog to the vet. Or, you know, I forgot I'm on vacation this week. I can't make it. Or I've got a really bad cold. I don't want to get anybody sick. Like, sorry, guys, can't make it tonight. And the game gets canceled. And it is the worst. It's the worst. Like, I feel bad for your kid who has to go to the emergency room, but I feel worse for me. Cause like I want to freaking play Dungeons and Dragons, and I like it's
just rub some dirt on it. Exactly. They can wait a couple hours.
A little like, super glue and a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Get your Doritos and get over to my house right now.
Walk it off. Walk it off. That'll be fine.
So what do you do? What do you do in these situations? What are the best ways to deal with player absence? I think there's a handful of approaches that we can take, and I want to know your guys' thoughts.
So something that I mean, lending this is something outside of D&D. A long while back, I was a scoutmaster, and one of the things that they
for the Boy Scouts of America.
For the Boy Scouts of America, yes. I was a scoutmaster, and so my job, if you will, was basically to make sure these boys had all the resources they needed to get merit badges, etc. But the thing that stood out to me that was when you plan a camp out, you don't cancel that camp out. Like, unless there's a physically, if there's something that's going to endanger the kids, you do everything, you move hell and high water to get to that camp out. Because the second that you start to pull back, and like if I cancel as a scoutmaster, the morale and like the investment of that group drops. And I think that the same thing's to be said for D&D. So like in this case, as much as you can, you know, like try and make sure it's a consistent thing, especially if you're looking for that golden group and you want to be able to have that bond, I guess you could say,
the chemistry, and
the yeah. more consistent you can make that game, the more likely it is people are going to show up and maybe do a one shot.
To me, that would be, you know, maybe a really great go-to fallback. Now it could, if it's like a very last minute late notice thing, it might be a little tough to like scramble and prep a one shot. Maybe always as a DM, not a bad idea to always have a one shot prepared in your back pocket, right?
Dream sequence one shot. Like it can be the same characters, just sure. It's in a dream sequence.
Ooh, like, I like that actually. Dream sequence. Yeah. I never thought about that before. I was thinking like completely different adventure.
Then they wake up and they're like, oh, what happened?
I like the dream sequence idea, kind of last minute, and you can just kind of throw some bad guys in there and just at least give everybody something to do, you know, have fun, have a fight, whatever. And maybe, yeah. You know, there's like some important sort of foretelling or foreshadowing, you know, that you're maybe dropping hints about something to come, or, you know, introducing a new character or some sort of mystery or something like that. But it doesn't take a lot to prepare, I would guess. Like a PvP battle, like a PvP one shot. That doesn't take
player
versus player. Sorry, that doesn't take really any prep, right? Doesn't have to anyway. Yeah. Just for fun. Now, some people might not like that. Some people might be averse to like, well, I didn't really create my character to be like a good against, you know, fighting other player characters at the table or whatever. But
like if you're
but
a healer.
The nice thing about that is it might give your DM like a chance to like to play, right? And just be like, okay, yeah, let's have a big free for all Royal Rumble, and like either everybody quick do a level 5 character or use your existing characters. I'll just make one that's the same level as you guys, and I'll jump into the fray and we'll all just fight each other and you know, and it'll be fun, whatever.
Yeah,
super fun. I think you could even, to that same point, if you wanted to keep it as part of the campaign, just have it be like, hey, we're having a sparring match tonight to work on our skills.
Sure.
No for lethal the players.
Damage. You're just...
And you could team up if you have some that are more like healer roles that don't do a lot of damage, but that'd be fun.
Yeah, and I like that. No, I think a PvP, a player versus player battle doesn't have to be a free-for-all. It could definitely be teams, and that might make it a little easier for someone who is playing a more kind of support role type character to feel like, okay, like I can compete here, right? I'll team up with the high damage dealer and try and keep them alive and or control, you know, the other people and debuff them and things like that, and it gives us a good fighting chance. Right. Like talking about this out loud is making me like, I want to do this. Like, I want to have a fight. Tip number 3, right? It would be play the game, continue the story, continue the exact same campaign that you're playing, but just find a way to sort of in game, in story, explain the reason why this particular character is not participating with the rest of the group.
A couple of those I'd used in the past, and one of them was like where, you know, that character, either maybe they're pulled off on a side quest. You start into battle and that character is then tackled by, you know, a dragon and scooped off into the distance. And then you see some of the city guard go after him to try and help him. And then at the end, when the combat resolves, they come out of the tussle, you know, bumps and scrapes and all, but they're still with the group and we're kind of participating in a way.
I mean, and there are a million different things you could do, right? I mean, I'm sure a good Google search will probably turn up lots of great resources in this vein. Ones that we've done, I mean, I remember I was absent from a campaign once and Corey, who was our DM of that campaign, had my character like fall off this bridge into this abyss. And then like later on, I showed up like riding the back of a blue dragon, like, well, fighting it basically. But like, it was this cool, like epic moment. It doesn't have to be like, oh, they were napping in their tavern room. They didn't even hear that there was a fight going on downstairs. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It could be if you just want to keep it simple, but it could also be something cool. Like have fun with it. Right.
And you can let the I guess another tip to add to the array here was, you can, as a DM, if you want, you could play that character. If the player, if you talk with them and be like, hey, no, you're not going to be there. Are you okay with that player? Or, hey, are you okay with Colby, one of the other players, taking care of that? And, you know, playing the player as they would see it there. You know, we obviously won't expend any resources unnecessarily or whatever, but as long as the player's okay with it, that's another option to, you know, like if you're kind of caught in the middle and you're like, hey, they're on the road and there's not really anything that would cause them to separate in any way, you know, that might be another avenue to.
I like that. So tip number 4, you know, have somebody else control the character, whether that's the DM, another player at the table, obviously, as long as the player is okay with that. The nice thing about that, I think, especially too, is that it sort of gets rid of any question there might be around like, okay, did this player who didn't really participate, did they get XP still, the same amount of XP? I think most people would say yes, just to keep it easy and you want to keep all your players on the same level and things. But, you know, that sort of relieves that question completely because it's like, nope, they were there. They were participating. They were just controlled by somebody else.
Yeah, for sure. I think if you are going to like sweep that character away and make it part of the story, it is going to be challenging for those players that are there together to fight the the bad guys, right? Because you're down a player. So for sure, you're going to have to scale back those encounters a little
bit. Right. Mm-hmm. Adjust your combat.
That's a good point. That's an important
point. They're really going to be, if they get attacked by, oh, I don't know, some insects coming out of...
some butterflies?
A little bit of foreshadowing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're down a player. It's going to be a little hard.
Not again.
Please, no.
Oh, that's a great point.
But that's just something that you'll have to kind of play by ear. And of course, you know, you wouldn't want your players to die because one player is absent.
Right.
And you never want to kill that player when they're not there. Like, I feel like that's taboo. Don't ever do that. That's
pretty rotten. Don't do that.
It's cruel.
I'm going to kill you while you're gone. Wait a second.
You know, and you can use them as scapegoats because in the event that everybody else dies in the TPK, that one character can go and revivify them or pay someone else. Or
it's a good thing you were gone.
The branch of anyone.
Because you're the one that brought everybody back.
Exactly. The Gandalf on the hill coming over.
Yeah, I like it. Any other words of advice, Tori or even Preston, for how to deal with player absence?
I would say that as a DM, if you do have a player that's absent, to just try hard to keep the energy up and put in some extra effort to make it still feel cohesive. Because when someone's missing, it feels like there's this hole.
It does.
And if you can, as a DM, just up your energy a little bit and give it a little extra that week, I think it won't feel like such a loss when someone's missing from the game. Because you don't want to lose that momentum. And I think that can happen when someone's missing.
Yeah, I like that. And kind of gets back to what Preston was saying, like keeping morale up is important. And if you want to like maintain that energy and that camaraderie and chemistry and things at your table, you don't want to have a dud game. But, you know, as players, hopefully, I guess that would be my tip, right? As the players who can make it and didn't have to cancel for whatever reason, like, you know, be understanding, try to be empathetic, and you know, hopefully you can find a workaround, whether it's, you know, one of the tips that we've mentioned before, you know, a one shot, or like a PvP fight, or having somebody else control the character, or have them there but sort of off camera, as it were. You know, there's lots of ways to deal with it, but if you decide that you're not going to for one reason or another, you know, it'll be okay. Play some Mass Effect. You'll get your RPG fix. Dragon Age, BioWare titles. I have a bias, but anyway.
Destiny 2. You can go play some of that. Destiny 1. Don't worry about the multiplayer.
I'm terrible at shooters. I have no first person shooter skills.
You got this.
When I play Overwatch, I always play Trollbjorn or whatever that guy is that just makes a he makes a turret and the turret shoots people and he just like has to fix it. I'm like really good at fixing that turret and hiding behind the wall.
Play
to your strengths, I guess.
Or you can go watch some Loki. You can go catch up
there
on
that. There you go. Or better yet, watch other people playing D&D. It's like the next best thing.
Yes.
To playing on yourself. YouTube. Is watching us specifically play D&D in Tales of Vanaria. But there are, of course, lots and lots of other great, you know, live play, actual play games out there, from Critical Role that everybody knows down to the little people.
Dimension 20, all the way
to support us. The little people like us. Yeah, exactly. Okay, awesome. Well, thank you. Thanks for your tips. I actually learned quite a few things, and it makes me much sort of less nervous about the next time we have somebody cancel on us. Like, I'm going to next week, and Preston will the week after that. Yeah, July is a rough month.
Guys.
That's okay. It's okay. We'll figure it out, right? So anyway, thank you for watching. Appreciate having you guys. Hope you enjoyed it, and love you. Hope that you have a fantastic day and hope to see you again soon. Okay. Thanks. See ya.